Hi, you're listening to episode 31 of the Mentoring Developers podcast. You can go online at mentoringdevelopers.com/episode31 to get transcripts, to get show notes, links, and a lot more. And you can also leave a comment there. Here we go.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
Before we start the show, I have a favor to ask you. You know, this show is all about new and aspiring software developers and their mentors. And I want to interview and I want to bring out stories from all of you. Whether you are a junior developer, you want to be a developer, maybe you work with developers, hire developers, maybe you mentor them. All of these stories put together build for us a complete picture, and then we can learn from our experiences and find out how we can be more successful, more inclusive, how we can have diversity, how we can encourage people to get better and encourage people to come to this field. If you want me to interview you, or if you want to be on a discussion panel, go ahead and type mentoringdevelopers.com/join in your web browser. This will open a Google form where you can tell me what topics interest you and what dates and times you're available for about an hour or so. Everyone is welcome, and I would be thrilled to get a chance to talk to you. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you at mentoringdevelopers.com/join. Hi, everybody. Today, I'm bringing to you a panel discussion with some amazing developers. They are embedded developers and app developers and web developers, seniors and juniors. We're going to talk about a topic that is very interesting, that is on your mind, and that is something that we need to resolve. We need to figure out for you which is the best programming language for you to attack, for you to focus on, or maybe what are the different sets of programming languages that we should focus on when you're starting out. Maybe you haven't really established yourself in a programming language, in a framework, and you have the chance to choose where you go. So this is a very important decision, and we're going to see if we can tackle that. So I have a panel. My guests are David Gatti, Fernando, Sara Calderon, and David Silva. Okay, so we're going to go around. We're going to introduce ourselves. Let's start with David Gatti.
Hello, everyone. I'm David, and I'm right now a backend developer for a company called Simply. And I also do hardware work with Arduino and Particle. And I also did like 1 year of Java with Android when it was at version 2.1, which was fun. And that's it.
Hi, I'm Fernando Paredes. I work for a company called Shiftboard. I am a mobile developer. I've been doing Swift, Android, and Objective-C for about 9 years now. And I'm also part of Operation Code, where we try to introduce more veterans into tech.
Hi, I am Sara Inés Calderón, a journalist, blogger, and now software developer. I have been working for just a hair under a year professionally. I went to a code school called Sabio in Los Angeles, and I am co-director of Women Who Code in Austin, and that's me.
Hi, my name is David Silva. I'm a front-end developer at a healthcare company in San Francisco. And I'm one of the co-founders of the Latinos in Tech Meetup in the Bay Area.
Which is cool, because we need more Latinos in the Bay Area. So, at least in tech, we need it. Maybe I haven't seen much diversity in the Bay Area. I guess that was my point. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're probably going to edit that part out because I didn't get any laughs. It was a pretty lame joke. So that see, the benefits of editing your own stuff is that you can edit your own, you know, awkwardness out.
All right. You can also join it with random laughter.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Laugh track, yeah.
Or applause, you know, I can just have these applause lines and applause, you know, audio just.
Yeah.
Or laughter, you're right. So the question that we have is, what programming language should I choose, right? The programming language that I choose as a new developer. Maybe I have 1 year experience. Maybe I have 2 years experience. Maybe I just graduated from college. Maybe I'm going through a code school and they're making me go through Ruby on Rails and Angular. And I'm like, should I be doing this? Or I'm not sure. I'm maybe in high school and I'm thinking, I would love to do coding. What do I choose? And we know that it's not all about web development. That's what you hear about, but that's not all there is to software development. So I want to ask David Gatti, what do you think? Because you have some, you know, different experiences. Your experiences are unique. It's going to put you in a different place where you can really tell us about what programming languages are the most satisfying from your from an intellectual point of view.
Right.
And which are the most lucrative in terms of making a lot of money?
Well, I don't know the last part, but I can for sure talk about languages. So, yeah, that's an interesting topic. And I was thinking about it for like past few weeks when I started doing some articles about sockets when it comes to hardware and software. And so I think like the most important thing when you're a new person, like thinking which language to choose, is like understand that there isn't the best language out there. You cannot choose just one language, right? So for example, Fernando for sure knows that it will be impossible to write. You need to use, for example, Swift for iOS, right? The majority of the time. If you're writing something for like hardware, like in my case for particular Arduino, you have two options, C or C++, the majority of the time, right? So when it comes to languages, when you have to choose something, you have to choose the right thing for the issue that you're trying to solve. And also try to not have this mindset that there is only one best language out there.
I think that's a very good point. There's no one silver bullet. There's no like you learn this language and now you can do everything. That's a holy grail. Exactly. We've tried to do that in the computer industry, in the software world. We have tried to create these really giant languages like Ada and other languages that are supposed to do a whole lot of other stuff, all in, you know, all encompassing languages. They don't exist. The key point here is to know what you want to do with this, right? So now you talked about embedded systems and Arduinos and so on. Tell us about this. What are they and why would you use it?
So embedded systems are basically, you can think of like anything that is small, I will say. For example, a watch is an embedded system because you don't have all the parts of a computer or you don't have all the resources available for you that you can find on a regular computer. So you have, for example, instead of 3 gigahertz of CPU, you have like 16 megahertz, right? Or 8 megahertz. Or you, instead of having gigabytes of RAM, you have only 25 kilobytes of RAM, right? And so they're very like narrow specific hardware that the job is to make a one specific task, right? So the watch shows you the time, right? As Bluetooth speakers play music, sensor to measure the distance to a wall measures one thing. So embedded system basically is like they perform one task and they try to perform it as well as possible. Where a computer can do basically, you know, anything.
Okay, so you're constrained by resources. That way you can't really use JavaScript and Ruby on Rails and or Ruby or other programming languages, because they're not efficient and so many other reasons why you can't use it.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why you use C, for example, or in the best case scenario, like C++, because you have to actually like manage memory very efficiently. So if you have 25 kilobytes of RAM, it's basically, you know, few pages of text, right, of memory available for you. So you need to be very careful like how you're using it. Otherwise, you know, everything crashes.
Yeah, and there are subtle differences between C and C++. Obviously, C++ is more evolved. It allows you to do object-oriented programming, both allow you to determine and monitor and free and capture memory as you please. So it gives you power, but you can also shoot yourself in the foot if you don't know what you're doing. So these are not your languages that are very forgiving.
Correct. But also I would say like don't be discouraged by when people say like C is very complicated or is hard or whatever. I would say that it's time consuming because you will have to write a lot of things from scratch just for that specific hardware. Well, of course, with Arduino, you get a framework where people did a lot of stuff already, right? But in essence, it's like it's more time consuming than any other language.
Okay.
So it's not complicated per se, I would say.
Absolutely. So you can do C. You just have to be careful about memory. Make sure that you remove memory that you allocate. That's something up to you. But in other languages, memory is managed for you. So that's the difference.
Correct.
And now, Fernando, you work on mobile apps. You build mobile apps. Is that correct?
Right.
So what are the choices? What are the possible choices of mobile app technologies or languages that people can use?
There's actually quite a few now. Most recently, Apple released a language called Swift. It's very type safe. It's a static language, requires you to catches a lot of your bugs via the compiler before you even ship an app out to your customers. Android has anything that is written via the JVM, such as Java, Kotlin, Scala, any one of those languages can work. They've just got different levels of compatibility within the Android system. And most recently, Facebook has released React Native to allow you to create apps using JavaScript. And I believe that that's definitely going to be pretty amazing in the future to allow front-end developers to move into the mobile app space and write apps as they please.
Absolutely.
Microsoft also has a company that they just purchased called Xamarin, allowing you to write apps for Android and iOS in C#.
Yeah, so there's just so many choices. Because there are so many platforms. In the web, it's just a web platform, right? So you have JavaScript and then things that compile to JavaScript. But on the mobile space, there are different platforms and they have the proprietary languages and their frameworks and then things that compile to those proprietary languages. So then there's just maybe, you know, many times more choices, but then the problem happens. One of the problems that we deal with, like if you want to build a mobile app right now, you have to choose which platform you want to build it for. In general, so if you want build it for the Apple platform, you're going to code in this language, or if you are building it for Android, you do it this way. If you're doing it for another platform, you do it the other way. That will give you the native experience, or you can work in another language or another framework that compiles to or converts to the iOS and Android and so on platform. So there's a lot for us, for a new developer, there's a lot to absorb and a lot to take in. If you're blank, if you really don't have any preferences, I think making a choice is pretty hard. It's not a straightforward choice.
Right. I think most people just end up choosing their phone of choice. So if you know, they're natively or always using iPhones, then they'll lean towards Apple. Every single mobile platform has their own design language and a lot of little intricacies that make it so hard for people to just go in and say, yeah, I'm going to write this app for two languages. Sometimes it requires a separate conversation on how that transfers over into Android or in iOS.
I want to introduce you to one other panelist that joined us late. Shaymoon, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Shaymoon Nawaz, and I am the CEO and founder of Kangaroo App. And we created an iOS mobile app in order to facilitate professional mentorships between people. My background is in design. Traditionally design, moved into web design and development, and currently I am doing iOS app and web application user experience and user interface design, and excited to be part of this conversation. So thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Do you also do some coding? I know that you're managing people who write applications.
I do. I'm very involved in the WordPress ecosystem. So I build WordPress themes from scratch. So that involves the HTML, CSS, JavaScript, jQuery, and of course, some PHP within the WordPress framework. And so that's the primary functions that I do when it comes to coding.
Great. So let me ask Sara, you started coding, and at that time, the first time you picked up a programming language, or it was when you were at the code school, is that correct?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, as a journalist and or blogger at different points, and so I guess my first, you know, formal introduction to coding was going into WordPress and fixing, you know, the HTML and stuff like that. But doing stuff like JavaScript, actual languages, JavaScript, and...
Okay, we may have lost you.
...until just under 2 years ago. Hello? You can't hear me?
Yeah, I think that we lost you for a sec. So can you repeat that?
Okay. Sure. So my first introduction to coding as in messing with any sort of markup was when I was working as a journalist and messing with the HTML on some of the WordPress platforms on which I was working. And my first introduction to languages formally like JavaScript, C# and SQL was just under 2 years ago when I was doing online classes and training for my code school in Sabio. Yes.
So based on your experience now, you went to the code school, you got your first job, then you got your second job. So now you've looked at so many different languages. I know you worked in .NET a little bit, you worked in JavaScript, you're doing React, and obviously you must have learned other things along the way. What do you think a person like you, maybe 2 years ago or a year ago or 6 months ago, what would you tell yourself in a younger self, what would you rather be learning in terms of languages, platforms?
Sure. So that's a good question. I think what I would say first is that if I were to talk to myself 2 years ago, I would have said, Sara, like, what do you want to do? Right? Because if you want to go and work in like enterprise, then yeah, go work, you know, go learn C#, go learn Java. But if you want to do, you know, if you want to be able to build your own websites and build your own apps, like probably might want to go the JavaScript route. Maybe pick up some design stuff, pick up some UX stuff. So I guess what I would say when people ask that, because again, as I mentioned, I work with Women Who Code, which is a global nonprofit, and we have a chapter here in Austin. And so we actually do cater to a lot of folks who are learning to code and trying to learn to code through various routes. And they ask that question all the time, well, what languages should I learn? And that's definitely super hard, especially when you consider, I think some of the panelists here have so much experience, they don't remember what it's like to like not know anything at all. So if you don't know anything at all, all programming languages are the same, right? And so I think what's most important, what I usually tell people is like, well, if, you know, first of all, if you just want to get a job, then go to whatever city it is that, you know, you want to live in and go search on Dice or Indeed or, you know, search some resources, see what the most common languages are in that tech industry and then go learn that tech language. And that's how you're going to get a job. You know, like, doesn't make any sense to go and learn, you know, Ruby if you're trying to work in a place like Dallas where there's all these like corporate headquarters or something, right? So that's kind of the one piece of advice I give. And then secondly, it's like, you know, I know people who they'll start learning Ruby and then they're like, oh no, but JavaScript is cool. And then they'll switch to JavaScript and then they'll be like, oh, but you know, someone was saying about mobile apps, so they'll switch to Java. And then you just end up spinning your wheels and you don't really get any of the concepts. So I think what's important is if you're going to try to learn something, then just stick with it. You know, if you need to give yourself a timeline, then stick with it for at least 6 months before you switch. Because if you just keep switching every few months, I don't think you're really going to get some of the basics. Because as you mentioned, I did see Sharp, and, you know, which is kind of one of the more classical object-oriented programming language models. And then once I started kind of doing TypeScript, I was like, okay, like a JavaScript. All right. C Sharp. Get this. And then, you know, I did Angular and now I'm doing React, as you mentioned. And so I feel like each one of those pieces of education is building upon the other, but it's because it's been a quantity and a quality versus just a quantity or a quality, in the sense that like I didn't just start something because I thought it was cool and then stop it and start something else. But like I really kind of dug down deep into it and learned what I could from it. And now all of that knowledge is applicable to what I'm learning with React. And I'm assuming whatever the next fancy JavaScript framework to come out will be, I will be able to also apply those lessons to that. So in sum, what I would say is if you're going to learn a new language and you're really concerned about which one it is, do a little bit of research, do a little bit of soul searching, and then pick one. And I would say stick with it if you have to give yourself a number, at least 6 months. And yeah, those are my thoughts.
That's a really good point, because what's your ultimate goal? If your ultimate goal is to get a job in a particular location, let's say that you live in Dallas, Texas, and you want to get a job there in a large corporation, then you can do some research and figure out what languages they need and learn that. And that's completely valid and it's a great idea. But I wonder if it has something to do, or the language choice should have something to do with your aptitude, your personality, how you think, because there's some languages that are essentially very similar. They have syntactical mm-hmm. differences, capability differences, for example, between Java and and C Sharp. There are huge differences, but those are not semantic differences. You don't have to change your mental model to work on C++ or Java or C Sharp. On the other hand, if you're working in a place, let's say that they need to use Scala or some other functional language, then I would say that that's a different way of thinking. My personal feeling is that the way you view the world or your understanding or how your mind processes information, maybe one programming language might be easier for you. I don't know. I want to ask.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. And maybe one day we can have one of those like personality tests for programming languages, because that'd be really awesome.
That'd be awesome.
So David Silva, what do you think? Because you work in JavaScript and a lot of web technologies, but you're in the Bay Area, and the Bay Area, they do a lot of embedded systems as well as a lot of hardware. So you you interact with a lot of people that do a lot of different things, I'm sure of it. So what's your take on this idea that a programming language is perhaps more appropriate for, you know, you should pick your language based on your personality or maybe the way you process information?
I really agree with Sara that it depends a lot in your goal and where do you want to work. I enjoy working with enterprises mostly, so I learned Angular, which is like the web framework that bigger companies prefer, and I like it a lot. But there's a lot of options, I guess, and it really depends on the person. The thing that I really tell, or like the thing that I make a lot of emphasis to the people I mentor, is that you need to learn the basics of programming regardless of what you want to learn. I've met some people that became really good at like jQuery, or they're great at building WordPress templates, but once they're faced with a different thing, they're not able to solve those problems because they forgot to learn like control flow, object design, and stuff like that. So it's really important that regardless of the language that you want to learn, you need to learn the basics of programming.
Okay, so now you've opened the hornet's nest, right? Because now you talked about the basics of programming. So I want to go around and ask everybody this question, and I'll give Shamoom the chance to talk first, and then we can go around in the order that we talked about. I want to know, what do you think are the basics of programming?
For me, the basics was understanding some of the models that David just spoke about, you know. But for me, because I was presented with the paradox of choice, there's just so much out there and it feels like there's so much to learn. What I really needed to have as a basic is, you know, what type of problems do I like to solve? Or what kind of problems do I want to solve? And if I can't come up with them myself, I made it an effort to reach out to people at meetups and connect and see, you know, what type of problems out there. And that way I can establish not only the fundamentals of programming, but then mature my skill set by kind of finding a specific path or journey, because it can be overwhelming with the amount of choices of different languages and frameworks. And so that helped me, is kind of finding out what type of problems do I enjoy solving, and that helped me to focus on a path.
Yeah, it's I had to unmute my mic. For me, the basics, like one thing also like to consider, for example, I will say it's also understand like that programs run on computers and on hardware. And I think like computers today are so powerful that they became so powerful that right now it's almost, you don't even think like how much space do you have on your hard drive or how much memory you have. And it's important to take in consideration also like when you write some code, it might be like a website, for example, or actually an app that you're running. You will run in this issue, like if I have like my app that is like consuming a lot of CPU or memory, maybe you have there will be like other tabs on your browser running, right? So for me, the basics is understanding like computers have a limited amount of power, that at first it's not obvious, but later on you might be like surprised, like, hey, why my computer is very slow today, right? Or why it's like my fan is going crazy. It's because like the basics to understand, like when you process data, the CPU will do stuff that takes a lot of like energy and processing power, right? So that's for me like how I understand basics when it comes to learning a new language. First understanding the hardware that it's running on, and then writing something.
I think it's a really hard question to answer. I think basics depends on first what kind of system you're trying to work with. Ultimately, I think having a good problem to solve is the basic of most principles. Understanding what it is that you want to do can put you ahead of everyone else, just because you can you can hone in on what you want to accomplish by just tackling that specific set of skills. So for example, if you wanted to build a Twitter bot, you could write some JavaScript that queries certain pages and then responds based on a few words. So it's really hard to answer, but I think it all depends on the person and yeah. what kind of skills they're already coming into computer science with.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
In a way, it is a trick question because there is no good answer to this question, but it does sort of let us probe your mind a little bit and figure out and sort of try to extract and put you in an uncomfortable spot so that you can figure out what you think is the essence of what you've learned in your years of programming and what you would consider a core skill set. And I think for me, for example, I can talk about object orientation, perhaps is a skill set that that we all need to have. That may be my idea, but somebody else can say, well, object orientation is, or object-oriented design is needed in certain types of applications, and you don't need to learn it in general, right? You don't need to know that in order to be a programmer. That could be a perspective. So, all right, so we have a new panelist that joined us later. David, another David, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Dave Molina, founder, executive director of Operation Code, a coding veteran service organization, also open source project, and on a mission to get more military vets and military families coding to build software to change the world.
Yeah, that's fascinating. We should have you on as a guest sometime to talk about some of the things you're doing. But for this discussion, I want to know your opinion. Do you do any coding?
I do every day. I was actually, as soon as I jumped on, I had some stuff on Atom open. And then I was trying to escape out of Vim. And I was trying to remember, you know, Q, 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 right?
All right. So hardcore.
Yeah.
Not like one of us, you know, IDE users. You're a Vim user. That's good.
You can thank Fernando for that. Fernando's been the one anxiously getting me on it. And so now you can thank him for that.
That's fantastic. Everybody should be using Vim. All right. We know Emacs is evil, right?
Don't start a war.
All right. So we were talking about differences in languages, what programming languages people should learn when they're starting out. Maybe they're new and they're not sure because they have a choice. Because sometimes, let's say that you've been working in Java for 5 years, maybe you might find yourself without a lot of choice to completely jump ship. Some people might disagree with this opinion, but I think you have fewer choices the more experience you have. So if you're starting out, this is great because then you can choose which direction you want to go in. Maybe you want to go into embedded software development, then you don't need to worry about all that object-oriented, Angular, and DOM and all this, right? You can just avoid all of that as long as you're able to, you know, find work as an embedded developer. Is that a true statement, David? Which David am I talking to?
Yeah, which David?
All right.
Yeah, because like it was for me.
Yes.
Okay. Can you repeat the questions? The last part.
So we were talking about all these programming languages, and there's so many choices, and I'm like, oh, I'm a new developer. I'm confused. I'm like, I don't want to learn a new programming language every year. I don't want to learn a new framework. I just want something steady.
But you have to.
Well,
you have to. There is no other way.
But do you think you still have to do that when you're working in embedded system? You're working in C. I mean, how much does that change?
Yeah, I mean, like for me, like right now, embedded stuff is like as a hobby, and that's one of those things. Like I wanted to get better at it, and so even though I was like writing apps in Node.js right for a while now, I decided that I want to take a little bit of break. and every day try to do something else in a different language. Because also like working in a different language allows you to think in a different way and solve problems in a different way. And then when you go back to your old language that you're most familiar with, you start looking at it in a different way and you discover things that you didn't even discover before. So it's always as a good thing to learn new things. Like the same thing, it's good to travel abroad, right? To discover a different culture. So when you go back home, you can appreciate something else, something that you never thought that this is, you know, different, and you like it a lot, and you're used to it, right? So I think it's good to play around with different languages. Focus on one for sure, but don't forget that it's good to learn new things.
Okay, so you're in favor of always being in sync with what's going on in the world, right? Because new essentially means better. In my mind, new is always better because we are improving.
Well, maybe not with like, I think, well, yes and no. Maybe frameworks, yes, because like a new framework might be like better than the older one because mm-hmm. someone like, you know, learned something from the old one and decided let's fix the old stuff and make a new features, right? But when it comes to languages, especially the old ones like, you know, C and beyond, they're very like precise tools to do a very precise job, right? So in terms of languages, maybe not quite. You know, a new language doesn't mean that it will be way better, right? Of course, the difference between Objective-C and Swift, way better. it's definitely more clear. It's more clear to read, to understand. And for sure, it's like more approachable to new people. So yeah, that was like a big difference, right? Mm-hmm. But other languages, there isn't much like, oh, shocking value, right? More or less, they will do the same thing. So
let me give you my perspective on this.
Okay.
I'm not talking about new things because they are new. I'm talking about new things that you, as a new developer, you come across because everybody's talking about it. So if something new has come out, whether a programming language or a framework or anything related to software development and everybody's talking about it, that's why you heard about it, mm-hmm. then my thesis is that it's almost always better than what we had. That's why people are excited about it. And if you just follow that, then you will know the best practices for sure. That doesn't mean that that should be your target language for developing apps. That doesn't mean that. But if you do learn it, for example, let me give you an example of this web frameworks, these JavaScript frameworks. React is fairly new, but it's caught everybody's attention. Everybody's talking about it. And if you are an Angular developer or an Ember developer, which kind of I was and I still am, to a degree, then you might have this, you know, this exasperation, this frustration of it, like this new frameworks, they keep coming out and every year, every 6 months, you hear about some new framework and we have such a great system here that works great. And now we have to fight to get developer mindshare and all this. This is a constant stream of thought.
Right. The thing that for in my case, what I do now when it comes to like deciding what should I like spend my time on, is like, does this new language or framework makes a huge difference for me, right? If it's like I see the features and there's like one feature that blows my mind, it's like, oh my God, I can see like taking off 1 hour of my day while developing, I will go and learn it and try to use it, right? But if a framework is like, well, we have a different template on our website from the other one, and that's the main difference, then I'm go like, you know what, I won't spend time on that, right? And so this is my approach when it comes to learning new stuff. For example, Objective-C and Swift, huge difference. I started playing with Swift like, you know, immediately because the difference was very big. If there isn't this difference, then I don't care. That's what I do.
So let me ask everybody else this question. I want to ask a question about learning something, a programming language that is in a completely different area of software development than what you're doing as your day job, or Maybe you learn how to do Android development using Java. Is it a good idea for you to go learn, let's say, Angular or JavaScript or something completely different that you may, you don't see how you're going to use it day to day, but just for the heck of it? What do you guys think? I want to get, you know, some opinions out.
So I really like this question, and I like it because I think that it's one of those things that most people ignore or forget to speak about. Learning different languages and different frameworks can actually propel you further in the language that you write every single day. They can teach you a new mindset. They can teach you a new method of writing your code, or even structuring it in such a way that makes it easier for other developers that are coming into this to see your code and know what it's doing. For example, when you start off and you learn object-oriented programming, it's the bee's knees. It's what everyone likes. It's perfect. But then you learn Haskell and you're learning about functional programming. And then everything starts to make sense because they're all isolated pieces that operate on whatever is being called. And it works wonderfully. But then you go back to writing your object-oriented software, and you start taking some of those aspects and putting it back into your code, and it makes it so much more maintainable.
Okay, that's great. Anybody else? All right, so the idea is that should you box yourself into paint yourself into a corner, or should you specialize in one thing and be really good at it? And the only way to do that is to just keep doing it and keep increasing your reading on that topic and your... Let's say that you want to be a JavaScript developer. Now, the basic level of JavaScript, that's easy. You can do it in a day or two. But if you want to do it in depth and you want to learn the ins and outs and all the different versions that are coming out and all the different tools that go with it, then it may take you years. You can become the JavaScript guy. Or you can say, well, I know this. Let me go learn something different. Let's say Ruby and I'll just learn something just for the heck of learning it, and I'll learn just enough to get an idea of how the language works, and then it'll open up some new ideas in my mind. So when I go back to my day job doing JavaScript, for instance, then I will use that knowledge, maybe without knowing that I've acquired this knowledge. So that's the feeling I'm getting, that everybody is on board with this idea.
Yeah, for example, like in my younger years, the thing that I was doing was like learning a lot of different languages like PHP, Ruby on Rails, Java, and what have you. But right now that I'm older, I decided to actually like focus on Node.js and try to actually like understand everything that there is about it. And in my case, embedded systems are like my pet projects that I work to have some fun. So that's, for example, like maybe this is an age thing, I don't know, maybe that's, I'm getting very old and and that's something that's switching in my head. But right now, you know, I'm focusing on like getting to know Node.js and C as much as possible.
Okay, so there are two things that can happen. You start off using a set of programming languages and tools, and later on in life, you start using something else. And that's a transition. You can certainly do that. But I wonder if you should be learning different things just because they're different, right? Am I hearing that everybody believes that we should learn different things because they're different?
I can chime in on that a little bit. As I was saying, like, once you know the basic, like, some basic concepts are extremely useful. I don't know if anybody remembers what Flash is, but I started with Direct Macromedia Director, that then Adobe bought it, and then I started learning Flash, and then Apple killed Flash, and so you always have to be learning. And when I was younger and I was learning only one thing at a time, every transition was really hard. But also, in every time you transition from one language to another, you realize, oh, there's so many things that are similar from this thing to another. Like in the case from Director to Flash, they had sprites, so that was kind of like a similar concept, and that was very interesting. Now in JavaScript, you have the DOM, and so you kind of like, there's, once you like understand like things in like a more a little abstracter way, it's a lot easier to learn other stuff. And learning random stuff just because, you know, in your free time or stuff like that is extremely useful, because, I mean, we never know when JavaScript is going to stop being cool. Maybe Swift becomes the next cool thing. Maybe Rust does. So you always have to be prepared, because the languages might fall out of practice anytime. You never know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Certainly, go ahead, Sara.
I was just going to say, certainly to that point of, you know, you never know how, I mean, it's kind of the theme that's emerging is you never know how learning one thing is going to help you with some of the other things that you've done. Just a kind of non-coding example, my senior year of college, I learned Portuguese, and I speak Spanish already. And so learning Portuguese, and I spoke a little French, was like, wow, you can really kind of start to see how all those languages share that common Latin root and how they took that common thing and branched out in different directions, which are very similar but slightly different. And I think that I was better at learning Portuguese because I spoke Spanish, and then because I speak Spanish, learning Portuguese has kind of given me a new perspective on speaking Spanish. And I would say the same thing is true. Certainly working with React the past 3 weeks at my new job has helped me understand Angular a little bit better. So, just kind of throwing that out there, agreeing with everyone else.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in as well. My experience has been that I've been very lucky, or we're all lucky in a way, to be in this time period where information is so accessible. So, you know, I find myself standing on the shoulder of giants. So when there is new technologies or new languages, or even new workflows, and that's something that I'll speak to with an example, I'm lucky that I can look onto various communities, and I have, I would say, 3 or 4 developers that I follow closely. And as they experiment with new technologies, they kind of parse out and evaluate and analyze them, so that, frankly, I don't have to. I mean, I have no problem admitting that, I have, my time is very limited. And the more information that I can get that's already been worked through, then that's better for me. For example, kind of going back to WordPress theme development, you know, I started working with a team called Roots, or learning from them. And just because I followed their starter theme from the beginning, when it was just taking a blank starter theme and eventually customizing it, what they started doing is integrating Gulp and Grunt and Bower, and in taking development principles and applying it to WordPress, which is, you know, fundamentally really not in line with a lot of standard development, protocols and standards. So, you know, really being able to stand on the shoulders of giants has been a valuable tool for me as new technologies come along, because it's helped me to really find out from other people what works and what works or not, but also learn new workflows that I can now apply to things that, you know, traditionally may not be the standard.
Okay, so my experience has been very interesting. I have worked in a lot of different technologies, and I ended up working in technologies lots of times that I didn't want to work in, because that's what we were using, or other circumstances forced me to do things that I didn't want to do. And I hated it at that time. But every single one of those experiences has benefited me later on, especially learning some programming paradigms and dealing with customers and clients, even things that seem mundane. I ended up using that knowledge when I was interacting with other people who were doing that mundane things later on as an architect or as a consultant, that nothing that I have worked on in my life has ever gone to waste. That's my personal perspective on that.
That's a good little motto. I like that motto.
Yeah, there's no bad knowledge, right? That's the point. There's no such thing as like, I don't want to learn this, because it's not going to take away from your good stuff. It's not like if you learn something that you don't want to learn, it's going to stop you from learning something that you love later on. And it'll come back around somehow or the other, is going to enhance the quality of your coding, the quality of your coding, and the quality of your brand. Like if you are a person that, let's say that you went through the whole cycle and you did some QA in the beginning, maybe you were a project manager, you didn't want to do it, Maybe you did a whole bunch of other roles. Maybe you worked in embedded systems and all you wanted to do was work on React and Angular. And maybe you did all bunch of stuff up until the point you're able to do the things you love. And now you could be going back and thinking, well, the last 10 years of my life, I did all these things that I didn't want to do. But one day they will come back and it will benefit you. Maybe you start a company, you become a CEO, and now you have to deal with project managers and QA and clients. And now you have, you know, a lot of this knowledge that nobody else has.
You win some, you learn some.
Yeah, that's clever. All right. So I think that we're at a place where we probably should wrap up this discussion, but I believe we have a lot more to talk about and we have some questions. We're going to write them down. And if you guys are available, we'll try to do part two of this discussion to talk about some other aspects and other angles in this idea of, or this question of finding the right programming language. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep.
Let's good. Do it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys later and we'll talk to you later. Great. I hope you enjoyed the show. Ciao. You can read the highlights and show notes with links on mentoringdevelopers.com/episode and the number of the episode. For example, mentoringdevelopers.com/episode 10 or /episode 25 and so on. Let me know what you think about this episode. If you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, you can email me at us@mentoringdevelopers.com. Oh, and one more thing. I really want you to be part of the show, even if you are a little shy. So go ahead and type mentoringdevelopers.com/join in your web browser. This will open a Google form where you can tell me what topics interest you and what dates and times you're available for about an hour or so. Everyone is welcome, and I would be thrilled to get a chance to talk to you. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you at mentoringdevelopers.com/join.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.